Hear me? Okay. Okay, so this is my first time ITF, and I'm incredibly jet-lagged, so I hope I will make any sense. So I'm Fabio Picconi. I'm from Technicolor, formerly Thomson, who changed name recently. And the goal of this talk, and the draft goes with it, is to briefly let you know about our work on ISP-friendly live streaming, and briefly discuss the implications of the cost information returned by the auto tracker. So basically, I will briefly motivate our work and present our design and the cost models. Next slide, please. So motivation is that there are several studies on how to optimize overlays to match the underlying topology. Here's a few of them, P4P, ONO, Oracle. The problem with this, one of the problems with these optimizations is that if you only take into account locality and not the capacity of peers, you may end up with small clicks, groups of slow peers, and this degrades performance. Next slide, please. Furthermore, in BitTorrent, this may not be such a big an issue because you just download the file a bit more slowly. If you're doing P2P live streaming, you may not be able to download at the desired stream rate, or you may miss video chunks, so you will have playback freezes, and this is actually very bad compared to just downloading a BitTorrent file a bit more slowly. So our contribution was to design a mechanism to reduce costly traffic, so localized traffic as much as possible in live streaming applications without degrading video quality, and also through a completely decentralized algorithm. Next slide, please. So basically, our design consists of two mechanisms. One is overlay construction, and the second is dynamically adjusting the download rate from costly links. I'm going to detail this in the next slides. So the overlay construction basically uses a decentralized mechanism in which each peer selects its neighbors, much as in like in BitTorrent. So one particularity is that the graph is directed, so peers connect to other peers either as uploaders, as downloaders, or both. So the reason for doing this is that assume that you have a peer with a very fast upload capacity. So you may want to have this peer connect to a large number of nodes so that it uploads chunks to a large number of peers. But you may only want to download these chunks from a few peers, say 4 or 5 is enough to download the whole stream. So this avoids, for instance, if you connect it to a large number of peers in downstream, you would generate a lot of signaling overhead unnecessary. So we use a directed approach. The overlay is bandwidth aware because the out degree of a peer is going to be proportional to the upload capacity, so the available upload capacity. And by doing so, we ensure that for each connection, there's a minimum upload bandwidth allocated to that peer. And it's also going to be, of course, cost aware, as I'm going to show in the next slide. So the idea is that each peer is going to maintain two sets of neighbors. One, it's local, so the closest peer in closest peers in the overlay according to a given cost metric, and the second set of peers is going to be completely random across all the peers watching that given channel. So the random overlay is pretty easy to construct. Just query a traditional tracker and connect to K peers. The primary neighbor set, so the local peers, you may contact the auto tracker, get a list of the closest peers in that swarm, and then connect to them to see if they accept to establish a connection between you and them. And they will accept if either they haven't connect to the limit of a number of peers, the preset limit, or they're connected to more expensive peers. In that case, they will replace one of the existing connections with a lower cost one. So basically, peers are constantly querying the tracker to find out about peers with the lowest cost for them, contacting those peers, and replacing existing more expensive connections with lower cost connections. This is just an example of a peer with four primary neighbors and then four secondary neighbors. So this is for the overlay construction. So now the question is, we want to allocate as much bandwidth to primary peers, to local peers as possible, but we still need to allocate some bandwidth to those randomly chosen peers. And the reason is we want to keep the global overlay connected, and we want to diffuse each chunk to everybody. So if we didn't transmit to randomly chosen peers, then the graph will become disconnected and remote peers wouldn't have a chance to get a copy of a given chance. So now the question is, how much bandwidth should we allocate to those remotely chosen peers, secondary neighbors? Next slide, please. Basically, we have a mechanism that adjusts the rate of transmission between randomly chosen peers, so secondary peers. And this is a receiver-driven mechanism. Each peer is going to inspect its local buffer, so how much is filled. If the buffer is full, it's going to decrease the download rate from secondary neighbors. And if the buffer starts to enter a state of chunk starvation, it means that you have to increase the connectivity of the whole overlay, that your local sources are not giving you enough chunks, so you increase the download rate from secondary neighbors, from random neighbors. And the rationale is this dynamic adjustment, because each peer is constantly either increasing or decreasing this download rate according to whether its buffer is low or high. It's constantly looking for the minimum download rate through costly links to keep its buffer full. Next slide, please. So we've done some prototype experiments. We implemented this mechanism, applied it to a previous prototype we had. We deployed it on a local cluster and emulated a simple network topology. It's kind of a toy topology. Well, you can't actually really see that well here, but you have 12 ISPs. You have country A with six ISPs with different user populations, different sizes. And then you have kind of the equivalent, it's another country, also six ISPs. So both countries are connected through a backbone, tier one ISP. And within each country, you have peering links among those six ISPs. So this is just to create a topology that has three costs, local ISPs. Then you have peers within the same local ISPs that least cost, then peers located across peering links within the same country have an intermediate cost, and peers located across the backbone have a third higher cost. And we did experiments varying the overlay size, 80, 160, and 320 peers in the same channel. And what we see is that the amount of local traffic achieved by prototype increases with the size of the overlay. The good thing about this result is that there are studies that show that the channel popularity distribution is ZIP-like, meaning that most of peers are watching a few popular channels. So most traffic is contributed by a few popular channels. But since these popular channels will have a lot of peers, their efficiency would be high, and hence the global efficiency of the system should be high. Next slide, please. In this other curve, we show that from the beginning, we have the beginning of the experiment, 300 peers joining the overlay at the same time, so flashcard scenario. At first, they establish connections at random to populate their neighborhood sets as quickly as possible, and then they start to refine, as I said before, by replacing costly connections with cheaper ones. So we see that the for two configurations, one with homogeneous upload capacities and the other one with heterogeneous upload capacities, the overlay converges to the optimal cost configuration in a matter of minutes. So we see that the convergence time is pretty good. So one important thing, which is not mentioned in the draft, but is relevant here because I heard before talking about whether the auto server should return information as to the peer capacity, the provisioned or the available peer capacity, is that here, as I said before, each peer tries to periodically contact other peers to see if it can replace an existing connection. Well, in our prototype, this is random. So it takes the least cost peers and contacts one at random to see if it has free capacity to establish a connection. And a lot of times, it contacts peers which have allocated its capacity completely and then refuse the connection. This is especially true for joining peers. When a peer joins the overlay, tries to find peers with free capacity, and it's very hard if it tries at random. So if the auto server, 2 minutes, okay, auto server provided information as to available capacity, this would increase the convergence speed of the overlay construction mechanism. Next slide, please. So a brief discussion about the cost models. So in the original paper, we assumed that costs were symmetric. So the endpoints of two peers establish a connection, they agree on a numerical cost and the same cost for both directions. So in that way, we can, by having numerical costs, we can compute the optimal cost of the overlay. So the overlay with the optimal cost. And we show that our prototype converges to that optimal overlay. We can relax assumptions on this cost. For instance, each endpoint could have a different view of the cost. Well, we could take the mean of those two costs, for instance, and we could also make that cost dependent on the direction. We would still be able to compute an overlay with the optimum cost, and a prototype can be easily adapted to such a relaxation of the assumptions. Next slide, please. Yeah, I'm almost done. So, last slide. And if we only had ordinal costs, then we can still keep the same algorithm to populate primary neighbors. So by replacing peers which are ranked lower with peers which are ranked higher. Now the problem is that since we don't have numerical costs, we cannot compute anymore the optimal cost overlay. But we could still do, and this is one thing that we could look at in the future, is to find what is called a stable allocation. So a stable allocation is one in which each peer has preferences and allocates its connections, so connects to neighbors, such that no two peers in the overlay would swap a connection for another two sets of peers. And in such a way, we end up with a stable overlay, so which has less disconnections and connections, and then decreases the overhead. Next slide. And this is the last slide. Well, this is just a conclusion. So we basically, we come up with a new design for ISP-friendly live streaming, which constructs a two-way overlay, which is directed and bandwidth aware. We do dynamic rate limiting on costly links to minimize the traffic and still keep our local buffers full. And this decreases the inter-ISP traffic. And then I've talked about how our scheme can be adapted to different cost models, namely numerical cost or ordinal costs. And this is concludes my presentation.
Thanks. And we are starting to run very short on time, so please take comments for Celeste Martin.